Yes Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
This is Chris Fetters of Dogman.com, and I am talking with Kim Grinnells down in Las Vegas. We are chatting right after Washington's 80-74 loss to the USC Trojans in the first round of the Pac-12 tournament here on Wednesday afternoon. The loss means that not only are the Huskies done, or at least we should say likely done. I guess a lot of things are going to have to happen, like really fantastical things are going to have to happen if Washington plays in the postseason. But I guess there is still a very outside shot, Kim, that they could make it to the postseason.
Yeah, we'll see. Postgame, from my understanding, there was supposed to be a vote of the players if they would accept a bid to the NIT if one was offered. But from what I was told, that vote never happened. So we'll see where that goes.
And again, it also sounds, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but let's talk about it before the game, like all the pregame stuff. You've been down in Vegas since Tuesday night. General vibe, like it just looked dead or dead in the arena.
It always is on these beginning games, especially if it's not Arizona. These games are pretty much like a home game for Arizona as well as Utah. So Arizona hasn't arrived in town yet, so I'm expecting tomorrow to be a lot crazier atmosphere inside the building. But, since Hop was let go, the announcement was made on Friday. We haven't had a chance to talk to anybody. So post-game, was the first chance we had to talk to him. Yeah, I mean, it's just a tough deal. And, I keep on saying, Chris, it's we've been through 9 football coaches. Hop is our 3rd basketball coach. And it makes it more difficult when the coach being let go is truly a good guy. And Hop's definitely one of the good guys. And, the USC, I mean, when you saw the bracket, they couldn't have had a tougher draw because USC's playing some of the best basketball in the conference right now. And then if they'd won that game, they were going to go to Arizona. So, it's kind of like I said, if you're going to go out, why make it easy? So they hung with USC, who's, playing as good as anybody in the country. But I was kind of concerned with this USC game going in, as if they got down, what kind of a performance we got if they got down quick by 8 to 10 points, which never really happened. But, yeah, a little bit of a different atmosphere coming in here, knowing it's potentially Hop's last game.
Yeah, and crazily enough, if Arizona State had beaten UCLA in the last game of UCLA's regular season, then Washington would be literally playing in the game that's being played right now between UCLA and Oregon State. They would have moved all the way up to the number 5 seed. They would have been playing Oregon State right now. But UCLA beat Arizona State, which put Washington back at the number 8. And then so now they had to go up against arguably the hottest team in the league in USC. And then on top of that, like you just said, even if they were able to overcome all that and overcome an 8-game series losing streak right now, because they lost 8 in a row, Kim, to USC. Even if they do all that and win that game, then they got to go play the number 1 team in the league.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this USC team, they've been battered with injuries from the beginning of the season, and now they're just finally starting to get healthy. And the two guards they've gotten, Boogie Ellis and Isaiah Collier, are as good as anybody in the country. And then they've got some bigs along there as well as, the Rodman kid from Washington State, DJ Rodman, who adds quite a bit. So I wouldn't want to play USC in the tournament.
Yeah, no, that game Thursday between USC and Arizona. I mean, USC might be the most dangerous number 9 seed that's ever played in the Pac-12 tournament. Yeah. I mean, those guys are so loaded, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
so
they're healthy too.
That's the reason why they're number 9, because they've had so many guys miss so many games that they finally got on track. And it's the old cliche, right? You want to be playing your best basketball at the end of the season. USC is undoubtedly playing their best basketball right now. I mean, they play Arizona Thursday afternoon. They just beat Arizona 4 days ago by 13. And yeah. Arizona is the number one seed. Again, you don't see a lot of number nine seeds doing that.
You got an up close of Isaiah Collier, you know, up in Seattle. And I mean, he looked as good as anybody in the country. I don't know if you noticed this on TV, but he evidently took a hit, you know, in the second half, and he was holding his left side quite a bit coming up and down the court. So I think he was a little bit bothered, but no big deal. Boogie Ellis, you know, Boogie took over and Boogie had 25 points. And he seems like he's been around tormenting everybody for a long time. And boy, that two guard tandem right there, boy, those guys are tough to handle.
Well, we knew going into the game, right? Because Collier had, what, 30, at least 30 against Washington and Seattle on Washington Senior Day. Yeah. And so we knew what he was capable of doing. Obviously, that the hype had surrounded him and had come with him. It wasn't just Bronny James that was bringing an entourage. I mean, Isaiah Collier was the real hype. And so we knew what he was capable of doing. And then he did it to Sahvir Wheeler and whatnot at the end of that game in Seattle that really spelled the difference. But like you said, Kim, you go into this game today and you think, okay, well, Washington can't put Wheeler back on Collier again. So they put Corin Johnson on. Corin Johnson got the start again, well-deserved after getting the start at Washington State and helping them to that win. So it was great to see Corin get another start. And so you could see Corin going up against Collier a little bit. But now, like you just said, Boogie Ellis ends up being the one that Wheeler has to guard the most. Is it a coincidence that Boogie Ellis goes for 25, leads the team, hits two big, big threes in the last 5-plus minutes of the game to help them win? Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, if you're an opposing coach and you've got those two strong guards like that, you know, you're going to go after Sahvir, you know, not to denigrate, you know, Sahvir in any way, but those are just two really good guards. And, you know, Mulcahy's a good defensive player, and Corin Johnson's, you know, tenacious defensive player. And, you know, Sahvir's got the thickness and he's got the will. It's just that those guys are so much taller that they can just jump right over him.
Well, yeah. And again, it's not a knock on Sahvir. He's 5'9" at best.
Yeah.
And how many 5'9" guys are going to ever survive going toe to toe with guys at least half a foot taller than him, trying to go to the bucket, trying to beat them up, trying to do everything they can against him? You know, it was easy. You know, you saw Sahvir, you know, have a couple early fouls, and it's like, well, if he's going to have to go up against Collier again after we saw what he did in Seattle, he's going to foul out of this game. And well, he ended up with his third foul really early in the second half. So you could see what Hopkins and the Washington coaching staff were doing by bringing in a guy like Anthony Holland, trying to get him to help defend Collier. But again, you take away one thing with that USC lineup. Now all of a sudden, you're letting Boogie Ellis just go ahead and run free.
Yeah, there's a reason Isaiah Thomas can still score in his sleep in the NBA, but there's a reason Isaiah Thomas isn't in the NBA. He can't defend those 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", guards, and he's just a defensive liability out there. Even though he can score, you know, and that's the thing, too, with Sahvir. And, you know, I'm sure that he's not done with his basketball career, but that's always going to be the knock on him.
Yeah, and it was so promising, Kim, coming out of the jump. I mean, one of the things that had been really tough for Washington in the last half dozen games or so was just that they just had not started their games with a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm, and it reflected that. But, man, not today. I mean, today they were up by 9 in the first, you know, 7-8 minutes of the game. They looked focused. They were hitting their outside shots, which is obviously huge for any team, but especially Washington that relies on it so much. And then on top of it, that was without Moses Wood. And then Moses Wood in the last 5.5 minutes of the game goes for 14 all by himself. And so you're thinking, okay, wait a second. They shot 69% from three. Moses Wood goes for 14 the last 5-plus minutes. They've got to be up by a dozen, right? Well, they finished the half up 5, and that was after Wood hit a one-handed miracle three at the buzzer. So it's just, again, this is just like a constant theme. As good as they've been offensively all year, Kim, defense just has not been able to compete.
No, you know, and this is context. It's not an excuse. this team's a different team with Frank Kepnong. It's a different team, you know, with the rim protection. Defensively, they're a different team with Frank Kepnong. You know, he's a contender for Defensive Player of the Year with Frank Kepnong, and they lost him early in the season. They lost Wesley Yates, you know, before the season even started. And I had guys telling me before the season started that Wesley Yates was the best player on the team, and I looked at them like they were crazy, better than Keon Brooks. And they're going, yeah. You know, so you add Wesley Yates and, you know, Frank Kepnong to this team, it's a totally different team, especially with Kepnong in the middle. You saw, I mean, how big was he in that win against Gonzaga?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's when you have multiple rim protectors in there and guys that can be that big of a presence inside and you can play a true inside-out game, which is what this team was kind of built to do, because yeah. You bring in a guy like Moses Wood, who's a pure shooter. You bring in a guy like Anthony Holland, who's not necessarily a big scorer, but he's a 40-plus percent guy from three. You know exactly what you're going to get from him on offense. If you can play that outside-in game, now all of a sudden, or inside-out game, now all of a sudden you've got real weapons on both, you know, in both aspects, and that's where you can be doubly dangerous. But again, I'm not going to get hung up on the offensive stuff, because as you pointed out from the start with losing Frank, his true value was on the defensive end every single day.
You know, back in the day, Chris, when Washington lost Robert Upshaw, I think he set the career block record after 10 games of that season, and they lost Robert Upshaw, and the team went in the tank. And this was a different team with Frank Kepnong. Which was a bigger loss back in the day, Robert Upshaw or Frank Kepnong?
Yeah, well, and the other thing that I would point out, and I pointed it out in the game wrap, once you started to really look at the statistics, it didn't really dawn on me, because it wasn't unexpected that Corin Johnson was going to get the start, right? Because he had really earned it. Even though he was the sixth player of the year in the Pac-12, he won that award, and that's a fantastic award, much deserved for Corin. He earned that start today, and he proved that he's a starting guard in this league without a shadow of a doubt. And he really was anyways. He just wasn't necessarily he was getting starters minutes. He just needed to be that sixth guy. But where it really showed up today, Kim, is that you look at the three guys that came off the bench. You're talking about Paul Mulcahy, you're talking about Braxton Mia, and you're talking about Anthony Holland. You want to know how many points they combined for today?
Two.
Zero.
Yeah.
They didn't make a shot. Mia missed both of his free throws. They had three turnovers. Ultimately, as important as those guys have been coming off the bench this year, and even Mia as a starter has been so crucial in so many games, when they've had to mix and match with him on defense, playing him in the zone as opposed to man with Wilhelm and some of these other things that Hopkins has tried to do to mitigate not having Frank Kepnong, and that's probably the biggest thing of all, not having Kepnong is the fact that they almost had to completely rejig their whole entire defensive philosophy, not necessarily the defenses that they wanted to run, but how they wanted to utilize them and which ones they had to use with the players they had available.
Well, the other thing too is, you know, there's a difference between Washington Paul Mulcahy and Rutgers Paul Mulcahy, because he's nowhere near the player this year that he was at Rutgers. I mean, not even close. And, you know, it all started when he broke his finger on his hand, and he never seemed to fully recover from that, never got his confidence back. And, you know, as you said, Chris, he just looked out of sorts. And everybody knows when he goes deep into the hole, he's going to pass the ball. And he continued to do that, which led to turnovers.
Well, right. And a good move by Andy Enfield today. Great credit to him for going into the zone when Washington got hot and basically just kind of dared them to try to get some points inside. And so Washington put Mulcahy in the high post. And he's not a scorer from the high post. That's not his game. And so he was missing shots. He wasn't finding open teammates. He never looked comfortable from the jump. It may have just been one of those things that, as much as Corin Johnson has absolutely earned the right to play starters minutes and be a starter on this team, to really get the full effect of what this team is capable of being, Hopkins may have made a mistake by not playing Paul Mulcahy as the starter, because for some reason there is a massive difference in Mulcahy's mentality and his outlook and just how he approaches the game as a starter compared to when he comes off the bench.
and bring that firepower, offense and defensively, with Corn coming off the bench. But, you know, I think also the key to the game is USC did a really nice job on, you know, all-conference player Keon Brooks. Keon was only 4-16 and 1-8 from three. And granted, you know, three of those were in, you know, desperation time, but they pretty much held Keon Brooks in check. He had 13 points. He was 4-16 from the floor, 1-8 from 3 points. And do I have the stat here? I don't. I was looking to see how many fouls he drew, but he only had 4 foul shots tonight too. And usually he's getting to the line more often than that.
He needed to get to the line more often. They had an opportunity because they got into the bonus fairly, not super early, but definitely with 7-8 minutes to go, they had a chance because I think they were down 3 or 4 at the time when they got in the bonus. And my thought, at least I put it on the game thread, was that, hey, they need to rely on getting some consistent points from the line, because clearly the shooting was in nowhere near the same galaxy in the second half that it was in the first half. And then by the same token, you need to have that first team all Pac-12 guy step up when he's counted on the most. And Keon Brooks Jr. is absolutely an all Pac-12 performer. He earned it. He's the leading scorer in the league. He was the only scorer in the league to score more than 20 points a game average. He did everything for this team. He rebounded like a beast today, had 8 rebounds. But when it really came to it, he just couldn't find the edge from outside. And that's been one of the main things that has really supplemented his game, Kim, this year, is adding that 40% shooter from three and making those key threes when it mattered. And just for some reason, he just didn't go down today.
Well, let's be honest, the better team won tonight.
Absolutely. And that's why I talked about at the very beginning, you know, if Arizona State just does a favor and beats you at UCLA, now it's Washington playing Oregon State right now as we're speaking. It's a chasm of difference. And it's just one of those things that you can look at and go, man, for Mike Hopkins, if this little thing goes just a little differently, or if this one guy doesn't get hurt, or if this one guy doesn't get academically suspended, or if this guy doesn't, you know, do something or what happened. It was just all an accumulation of a number of different small things that added up to a big thing at the end with him eventually losing his job.
Yeah, you know, and hang on one second here. If it is, we do these things and we get wild texts as our phone blows up all the time. But you were able to see the post game, Chris, and you knew it was going to come with Mike. I mean, he's just an emotional guy, and he got real emotional post game.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've seen him emotional like the first couple of years when they made the Pac-12 or the NCAA tournament in his second year, when they won the conference. You know, there were times when he got very emotional about just what it meant to him. And when he says that no matter what happens with him professionally as a coach, no matter where he goes from here, he said he's always going to be a Washington fan. And you believe him 100%, because whatever you want to say about Mike Hopkins as a basketball coach, as a person, you won't find anyone as genuine and as sincere and as believable. Like, everything that comes out of his mouth, you better take it face value, because that's what he's telling you. It's the truth. So, yeah, it's going to be really difficult not seeing Hop on the sideline anymore. It's just going to be strange, matter of fact, because, you know, when you see someone over there for 7 seasons, you get comfortable. You get used to it. There's just a certain amount of normalcy to it. But clearly they needed to move on. They needed to start fresh. And it'll be interesting to see what Troy Dannon does from this point on.
Chris, was there ever a time where you were even in the vicinity of Mike Hopkins and he saw you where he didn't come up and shake your hand and smile and say hello?
No, never. No, just a very personable guy. That's what made him a great candidate to be a college coach, or just a coach in general, is that when you're the best coaches, you know, really when it comes down to it, it's all about relationships.
Yeah.
And it's all about when he would much have rather, and he kind of did at the end, he much rather talked about Keon Brooks and the strides that Keon's made from when he left to Kentucky to the seasons that he's played at Washington and the things that he's accomplished. And even Keon acknowledged it. He said, hey, you know, maybe things didn't go the way we wanted to the last couple of years. He goes, but I will never regret coming to Washington. It's the best decision I ever made.
Yeah. You know, it's just so many times I'd walk in and I wouldn't even see Coach Hop, and he would just scream Dogman, and he would just go crazy and yell it. So, you know, good guy, character, fun to be around. Everybody loves Mike Hopkins. I mean, you know, just maybe not a fan of him as a coach, but when it comes to personal, everybody loves Mike. I mean, he's just such a good dude. So,
And everybody, even like on the Pac-12 networks broadcast, you know, they mentioned how difficult it was going to be, you know, but they knew things about Hop and his personal life because he always left it open for everybody. He was an open book. You know, they mentioned his reference to how much he loves Pearl Jam, for instance. You know, they were making little sly references to things like that and other things in his life. And it's all just because Mike Hopkins was genuine. He let everyone know exactly who he was at the very end. Like you said, you know, at the press conference, Kim, you know, he's talking about how it's emotional for him. He goes, but that's who I am. I can't help who I am. That's so you either like it or lump it, I think is what he said. So, yeah, ultimately, these are the things that you get when you get Mike Hopkins.
Yeah, it was funny because I remember, you know, just early on, and Mike was such a big Pearl Jam fan. And, you know, we were at a game, and Mike McCready, the guitarist from Pearl Jam, was sitting front row right across from the bench in post game in Washington again. He goes, I'm trying to coach a game, and Mike McCready's right across there in the middle of the game. I want to go over and introduce myself to him. And he's just going crazy with Mike McCready there. So
yeah,
he had a 7-year run, $20 million. So it's kind of like I said, I'd take a 7-year. Would you take a 7-year run at dogman.com for $20 million, Chris?
I've worked at dogman.com for a hell of a lot longer than 7 years, and I've never come close to making $20 million. So the answer to that is a resounding yes.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
The big question, Chris, is going to be where do they go? And everything indicates, you know, I've had agents tell me that it's a done deal with Danny Sprinkle. I've got guys telling me that he's looking at a couple of other guys. You know, Dave Pastrnak, who was at Arizona, who's at Santa Barbara now?
Joe Pastrnak.
Joe Pastrnak. That's a name that's come up. Evidently there's what I'm being told is he's, you know, Troy's looking at a couple of guys. Troy's keeping everything to himself, so I don't know. You know, it sure seems like Danny Sprinkle from Utah State seems to be the guy, but we'll see what happens.
Well, not that we need to consider Troy Dannon a bleeding heart, but it's a difficult situation, right? Because your team just lost in the very first game of a conference tournament, and now the assumption is you're going to be picking a head coach from a team that is going to make the NCAA tournament. So there's the guy that he might want. Like, let's take, for example, it is Danny Sprinkle. And I'm not saying it's not, but what if it is? Well, first of all, has Utah State even played a game in the Mountain West yet, in the Mountain West tournament? I mean, I assume they're either playing, they probably start playing tomorrow, Thursday. Either way, they've got to go through the whole Mountain West tournament. They're clearly in a place because they won the regular season Mountain West Conference Championship. Now they have to play the tournament. And then on top of their conference tournament, then you've got to go to the NCAA tournament. So you're still looking at, if Danny Sprinkle is the guy, for example, you're still looking that you can't even make an official announcement on a guy like that for at least another 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, in addition to that, Chris, we haven't even started the coaching carousel. coaches are going to start to get fired after this weekend. After these tournaments are done, you're going to see more jobs opening. You know, the rumor is that, you know, Kenny Payne at Louisville is going to be out. And the rumor is that Joe Cronin, you know, at UCLA, that's a job that he covets. So if UCLA opens up, there's going to be some good jobs up there. It's not, will Danny Sprinkle take the Washington job? Can Washington go out and get a guy like that? Because he's Coach of the Year candidate, and he may have more options than just Washington. Is Washington the best option out there for him?
Right, and that's the other thing. I mean, it's you're starting to go back, and I don't want to give Washington fans whiplash over what happened with Kalen DeBoer, but the longer a coach waits to see what happens, typically the more that things happen. And so you're exactly right. And I think, to be honest with you, that's an unfortunate side effect of why we're seeing coaches like Mike Hopkins being let go before the end of their seasons. We saw it. There's been a number of guys that have been let go early, like the Ohio State, Chris Holtman. Holtzman? He got fired. When would you expect an Ohio State head coach to be fired before a season was ending, unless the guy was so horrific that everyone already knew and it was a foregone conclusion? It's a weird side effect, because it feels like athletic directors need to get so on top of this stuff so early and need to plant so many seeds out there with agents and all the people in these coaches, kind of their inner circles, that they have to fire these guys earlier and earlier. And I think that's sad.
I'm praying for a quick hire, you know, just to
Well, the reason why I say that, Kim, is it just because it trickles down to the players, and the players don't deserve that. The players are a huge part of why coaches end up where they're at, and they get hired and fired because of players, for the most part, because of what they've done. But at the same time, like, you know, if Washington does get to a postseason tournament, if all these things come together and there's some sort of weird formula with the net that allows Washington to get an NIT bid, does Washington take it? Well, even if Washington takes it, they're going to be doing that apparently with the understanding that Mike Hopkins is not going to be coaching them.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. But, you know, it's just this, when you have a coaching change like this, you know, where Mike's going to be okay. But there's a lot more people that are impacted by this. You know, Will Conroy, Quincy Pondexter, Jerry Hobby, Ben Lee, the strength and conditioning coach, Bobby Medina, his assistants, the SID for basketball, Sam Schwartz. What happens to all those guys? Because all of those guys, do you think they're sleeping well at night with their futures uncertain? It's not easy on those guys either.
Yeah, no, it's true. And you have to kind of separate, like, the assistants are certainly not sleeping well tonight. From maybe the actual other employees of Washington. Like, for instance, Sam, the guy that we deal with, the SID, who's fantastic. I think he knows that whoever's going to be the next head coach, he's probably going to be just fine. I mean, you look at the SID for football, Jeff Bechtold. Jeff's been there through how many head coaches? Since James left.
So he's
made it through a ton of guys. So I have a feeling if Sam wants to stay the SID, I don't think that's going to be a problem, because he's fantastic. He does a great job. But it is the assistants and their families are the ones that are really impacted, on top of obviously Hop and his family.
No, I'm telling you, Chris, starting on Monday, you're going to start, you know, probably as soon as Sunday, you're going to see, you know, coaches' heads on the chopping block, and we'll see what happens. So, and then the whole coaching carousel thing that we just went through, we're going to be going through again. And you saw that Wayne Tinkle's going to be back at
Oregon. Yeah, it's interesting. And obviously, I think the other one, at least in the Pac-12, that people are expecting that there's going to be a decision on one way or another would be Jared Haas at Stanford.
Yep.
Other than that, is Bobby Hurley on the hot seat? Maybe.
He might be a candidate for another job too.
And Kim, you mentioned Bobby, the Louisville job with Kenny Payne.
Bobby Hurley to UCLA.
Well, let's connect it. Let's let these dominoes fall for a second. So Kenny Payne is out at Louisville. Mick Cronin to Louisville, Bobby Hurley to UCLA, and who would go to ASU?
Danny Sprinkle.
Really?
I have that no
Danny Sprinkle would go to ASU as opposed to Washington?
No, I have no idea. I'm having my tough time wrapping my head around just everything we've been going through the last several months, Chris.
Well, if you think the coaching carousel in football is nuts, think about it with three times as many NCAA basketball coaches at the Division I level.
Oh, and one more thing. It's like I was talking to Will Conroy. He said, if you think the transfer portal for football was nuts, he goes, everybody on the roster in basketball is going to the portal at the end of the season. Everybody.
Right. Oh, and as they should. Nowadays, everything is completely legal. Everything's completely out in the open. It's the Wild West again. What, they'd be dumb not to at least, dip their toe in the water to see what's available, see what's out there, right?
Open for offers, baby.
Hell yeah. No, that's what, bottom line is we know that they've created basically a college version of free agency. Yeah. I mean, let's just call it what it is. It's what it is. So, if you think a college basketball team can be remade in the image of what Hopkins tried to do with this Washington lineup this year, because they were talking about on the broadcast, they were saying this is the second most experienced team in all of college basketball this year, Washington was. Because when you bring in graduate guys like Mulcahy and Moses Wood, and you bring in veterans like Breidenbach, and then even younger guys like Nate Calmes, but you bring in so many guys, and then you already had so many experienced players in there with Kepnung, Mia, Anthony Holland came in as a senior. I mean, these guys had so much experience coming in, and that just makes it even more painful in terms of the fact that they weren't able to get it together. But this is the new future, right? This is the future is now. You're going to see teams with 13 scholarship guys, and you're going to see guys, 10 of those guys could be brand new from year to year. That'll be normal. So.
All right, let's wrap this up, Chris. I rescheduled my flight. I'm going to go ahead and stay down here tomorrow, and then I'll head back on Friday, and I'll just be talking to a lot of people down here. So if anything interesting, I'll put it up on the board. But sad to see basketball season end, and it just never ends, does it? I mean, it's just going to be – we got to follow this, and it's going to be the transfer portal. We got spring football starting, and it never ends, Chris.
It keeps us out of trouble. So don't spend your per diem on the crafts table, right? So that's the key. And then try to find out as much you can. Obviously, this going to the Pac-12 tournament for us is usually an information gathering situation, regardless of how Washington's doing on the court, because so many people are there, and there's a lot of people in that arena that have a lot of information. Now, whether or not they want to share it, we'll find out.
Yeah, just one more thing before we wrap this up. I just want to give a special shout out to Keon Brooks. We've seen a lot of guys coming through this program, and a lot of dudes and a lot of really good basketball players. Keon Brooks is as good as any that's come through this program. We've dealt with a lot of really good players at Washington, and when times got tough, they'd hide, from us or were grumpy. Keon Brooks. Win, lose, it didn't matter. Didn't matter how ugly a loss was. He came out every time as a professional, talked to us, brutally honest at times. You heard what he said the one time. I don't know if you edited it out or not, but he's just a class guy. And I'm going to miss Keon Brooks because, like I said, he was just honest. And the other thing, and you've heard me say it millions of times, Chris, was that what Keon did or is that who he is? It's who he is, and just a real special player and a real special guy. So just shout out to Keon Brooks. He'll go down as one of my all-time favorites.
Well, now you can't just leave fans hanging there. What did he say? I can't remember. Yeah,
I can't remember what game it was. And I asked him, I said, he was just kind of going around, and I go, so what happened?
I think it had to do with the defense, didn't it?
Yeah. And he just kind of looked down, shook his head, looked up, and he said, excuse my language, it was just all fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, as we said, it was just all fucked up. and he wasn't wrong. Yeah, no, he wasn't. You know, so I think that's the first time we've done an F-bomb on. I think that's the first time I've done an F-bomb on the podcast.
Yeah, but it's cool. It's quotable. You didn't say it out of context.
Do you remember the last one?
No, I don't.
It was after Tyrone lost in the Apple Cup, doing the podcast in the car.
Oh no! Well, that, you know, I think we were probably outside of our minds at that. Are you talking about on the trip from Pullman to Spokane?
Yeah, we
were outside of our minds at that point. I mean, there was snow everywhere. Just trying to stay in the middle of the road was a challenge.
And Tyrone being Tyrone. So
yeah, we'll leave that. We'll leave that right where it needs to be.
All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up then, Chris.
Yeah, I would echo a lot of what you just said about Keon. Really, really good guy. Stand up guy. I mean, I remember years and years ago when Washington had lost to Stanford at Stanford, and it was one of those contentious things at the end where they made a three when Coach Romar could have fouled. And I think it was one of the point guards. It may have been Justin Dettman that was involved with it, and he was involved in the end. Maybe he missed something or something. It was an egregious something or other.
He fouled a three-point shooter at the buzzer.
Yeah, or something like that. It was bad. And I always remember the old SID, Dan Lepsey, when they were talking about whether or not Justin should be allowed to talk to the media. And he goes, basically, yeah, you got to let him go out there and say what he needs to say, because we know that Justin's a high character kid. We know that he'll own it. We know that, you know, he'll say the right things and do the right things. And that's what I feel about Keon. I mean, Keon had always approached things, and sometimes he would be matter of fact about it and say those things that you just said. But you know what? He never stopped competing. He never stopped working hard. His transition as a three-point shooter this year was one of the huge reasons why they ended up with a winning record this year, frankly. I mean, his ability to supplement his game, inside game, with his outside shooting made him arguably one of the most improved players in the Pac-12. And I know he was all Pac-12 anyways, and I know it was Stanford's Maxime Reynaud that ended up getting the award, but I think a lot of our arguments could be made for Keon Brooks being the most improved guy this year too, in a number of ways. So he was really, really good to deal with, and always was great with us. So I'll always have a lot of respect for Keon in that way. But just overall, disappointing season, really disappointing season because of what was possible. You know, the moments where they really showed out, like the Gonzaga game, even some of those early games where they lost in overtime to like Colorado State or the San Diego State game, or the only one that really had that was a stinker early was the Nevada game. But other than that, I think they really showed a lot of promise and going into the conference play. But then when Kepdong went down, it just was I guess it ended up being too big of a hurdle to overcome and too much on the fly stuff for them to be able to overcome. So ultimately, disappointing season, disappointing end for Mike Hopkins, especially, but it was time. And I think everyone kind of understands that. There's a lot of Washington fans out there, and rightly so. They have the opinion that he should have probably been out earlier than this year, but there are reasons why that didn't take place, most of them financial. But with the new facility on the way, everything else that seems to be going on, Washington and especially Troy Dannon has a chance to put a real imprint on this thing and get it going back in the right direction with the right hire, especially with the things that the new coach is going to have at his disposal. So even though it's a downtime right now for Washington basketball, I think there's a lot of reasons why Washington fans should be encouraged, because things are looking up.
Hopefully, Chris, you can get that video, post-game video, uploaded to the site, or, you know, we'll try to get a link on the message board, but I highly encourage you to listen to Coach Hop post-game. And he pretty much had everybody. There was a lot of watery eyes in Coach Hopkins post-game. I mean, it was pretty emotional. So sad to see him go. You know, I wish the best for him. I'm sure he's going to wind up and be just fine. We'll see what happens with all the assistant coaches, you know, especially Ben Lee, Quincy Pondexter, Jerry Hobby, and of course, you know, Will Conroy, who we've known since we covered him being recruited at University of Washington. So, you know, just stay tuned. So we'll see the ebbs and flows and the twists and turns for the new coaching search. So, anyways, for all of us at Dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnells along with Chris Vetters. Go Dogs.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.